Welcome to Arrive at 5, the podcast of Pointless Lists and Banter. I'm your host, David.
And I'm Blair.
And we just want to thank you guys so much for coming back and listening to us. We appreciate it so much. Please like, subscribe, rate, review Arrive at 5 on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, on Anchor, on every podcast streaming platform. Please hit us up with suggestions at arriveat5@gmail.com. But really hit us on Twitter. That's where we're going to be at most, at arriveat5.
Definitely hit us on Twitter. Tell all of your friends, arrive at 5.
Arrive A-T, the number 5.
Arrive at 5. Don't use the at symbol. We've been over this.
You can't put the at in the handle.
You have to type the word at, A-T.
Arrive A-T, the number 5.
Right, arrive at 5. Plug's over. What's up, David?
What's up, Blair? How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. I'm glad to be back. I'm grateful to the dedicated listeners that are back with us for sure. I'm eager to reveal my list. Eagles, they're flying everywhere these days. I'm eager to reveal my list, though, and right my wrong from the last pod.
I don't know if you'll be able to ever fully right that wrong.
Shh, don't ruin this for me, man.
The people never forget, Blair.
No, I can make it up to you. So I'm excited to get on board with the list today. Do you want to give the listeners some behind the curtain before we get started?
Yeah. Before we get started, first of all, I just want to apologize for both me and Blair. We've done a crappy job of kind of giving you guys the context to all of this. I mean, we told you how the podcast kind of got started. We told you kind of how we figured out the name, but we left out a super important detail. Before we record these, me and Blair have no idea what each other has on their list.
Right. We are finding out one another's lists live in front of you on air, kind of. So this is very genuine. Most of the time, we've been texting all week about it.
Yeah.
And still don't know one another's list.
We will talk about the topic all week without actually naming what is on our list specifically. So, I mean, by the time we get ready to record, I'm so ready to watch my top five destroy Blair's top five.
Yeah, right. But there are lots of times when I genuinely think about something and I'm like, oh, I want to ask about it right now. Like, this is a good topic. I want to talk about it right now. But we don't. So by the time we record, you know, we're ready to hear one another's lists.
Yeah, completely. I mean, we're hearing our list the exact same time as you guys are.
Okay, so what are we bringing to the table today?
Okay, yeah, we're going to take a trip down memory lane again, kind of talk about some of the best games we used to play, like board games, card games, tabletop games.
Yeah, to be exact, we are talking top five board, card, and tabletop games today. Not only from childhood.
Even today.
I was going to say, things that I've played in the last couple of months. I've got several games on here I've played in the last couple of months.
It's true, you're a game man.
I'm a game man. I've been called that many times in my life.
I understand.
Okay, so do you want to get the list started?
I can. And I think this is the perfect way to segue because with your top five, you are probably playing checkers. But with my top five, I'm definitely playing chess. My number five is chess. I'm thinking three moves ahead of you on this, my friend.
What a lead-in. How am I ever going to live up to that?
Hey, like I said, we're coming in hot.
Okay, why is chess your number five?
Just because it's an extreme strategy game. Like I said, you kind of have to think three moves ahead. You know, if you can, get that three-move checkmate and just really make the person.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can checkmate.
Are you just making that up?
You can checkmate in three moves. I can show you how to do it after the podcast.
Does it require your opponent to be an idiot?
They have to make one move for you.
Okay, it's a pawn, I assume.
Yes, if they move this one particular pawn, you can checkmate in three moves.
Has this happened before?
I've seen it done, and I've done it.
Because chess tournaments are big time, man.
Oh, you can't do it against anybody that actually knows. Not that actually knows, but anybody that is above average or has, like, seen it before. Because you're not going to allow that to happen.
So it's semi-obvious for players.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was in chess club in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Catch me on the board.
I will.
Okay.
I'll checkmate you in three moves.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's kind of the first, like, super complicated game I ever learned where, like, you know, each piece has its own unique moves. I'm not going to explain how to play chess for all you guys. If y'all don't know how, look it up. It's super fun.
That'll be a separate pod.
Yeah, it's super fun. I'll play you.
In a separate pod, David will go solo and just tell you guys all the rules of chess. It'll be fascinating.
Yes. What, one by one, just every rule.
I remember as a kid, though, seriously, like when I was in chess club, when I would try to determine whether somebody had played before, you'd have to say like, yeah, have you played chess? And when kids would say no, it'd be like, oh, this guy hasn't even played chess.
Never mind. Sorry.
What a bum!
Sorry. I was only looking for chess experts.
Yeah, seriously. This guy's playing solitaire on his mom's computer at night.
Grandmasters, if you will. So yeah, okay. That's chess. Just one last little tidbit about chess for all you chess heads out there.
There's a ton of them.
Whenever you get that pawn all the way across the board and you can pull any captured piece back over.
If you say anything other than one piece right now,
if you're dumb enough to get your queen taken at that point, then you got to take the queen. But after that, it's knights all day, baby. Knights all day.
What? You need to take a rook out.
No, knights all day.
Why would you take a knight out instead of a rook?
Because knights are super flexible.
They have the lamest move pattern of all time.
Nah, man, you can get sneaky with knights.
Not at all.
Sneaky.
I'm all for taking out a rook. I think that's crazy.
Whatever. Agree to disagree. Like I said before, you're playing checkers, I'm playing chess, so we know who's really right here.
Sorry, Grandmaster. Are you ready for my number five?
Give me your five.
Okay. My number five is my all-time favorite childhood game.
Oh, wow. But it's only your number five.
Well, I said childhood game.
Okay,
relax,
okay.
All relax.
Right, touche.
It's Chutes and Ladders,
oh,
man.
No. Okay, that's fine.
I love Chutes and
that's
Ladders.
That's fine.
Now, I'm talking Chutes. Chutes.
Right.
Chutes and Ladders. That's
right.
Called hunting in Alamance County.
Oh, definitely.
So we're talking Chutes and Ladders. Liked so much about this game. Part of what I liked was that it was just very easy to play. You could bust it out and start a game immediately.
I was literally about to say, this has some of the easiest rules any game.
Oh, it's for all ages, as the box says.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But also, as a kid, this was one of the only games I remember that didn't use a dice. It used a spinner. And
yes.
As a kid, if you ask me, like, do you want a dice or spinner? Give me the spinner all day long, man.
I know, yes. Saying spinners makes me think of another game or two that I'm not going to mention right now, but that's definitely where it makes me think.
Okay, foreshadowing. Maybe we'll hear about it later.
Maybe.
Good tease. So anyways, love Chutes and Ladders. Basically, in case you don't know, again, won't explain it, but you just kind of move horizontally until you landed on a chute or a ladder.
Yeah.
Hopefully the ladder.
I was going to say, yeah, the ladder is what you wanted.
Yeah, the ladder of those two. See what I did there? Ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully the ladder. Yeah. But also, the animations on the board for why you would fall or climb the ladder were pretty funny. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
I mean, I may have back in the day, but I can't say I've played Chutes and Ladders in the last decade.
Chutes and Ladders? What are you, a Western folktale now?
Oh, Chutes and Ladders, Chutes and Ladders. That's actually the third event in the Firefighter Olympics.
Thought you were going to say it was Harry Potter's fourth task in the Goblet of Fire. Chutes and Ladders, you know.
Yeah, Chutes and Ladders.
Anyways, so some of the images on the board would always be funny. Like, when you would fall down 60 spaces, it would be like your little character climbing up a ladder to get a cookie jar and would just fall down, and so you'd be falling down the entire board.
Got your hands caught in the cookie jar.
I know. It makes me wonder what images would be in adult Chutes and Ladders. Like, you woke up super hungover, fall down 50
mm-hmm.
spaces.
I'll be like, IRS like got you for tax fraud. Fall back 50 spaces.
Right. You paid your mortgage, move up 30 spaces. Nice work. Yeah, fun fact about Chutes and Ladders, last thing I'll say, is that it was originally called Snakes and Ladders when it was created in I think, Great Britain, but when they exported it to the United States, exported like it was some commodity,
mm-hmm.
but anyways, when they brought it here.
It was high demand.
Yeah, oh yeah, people were begging for it overseas.
Gotta have that Snakes and Ladders.
But, they changed the name because they thought American children basically were total weenies, and they thought, oh, snakes are going to scare them. We'll call it Chutes and Ladders.
Terrified of snakes. Can't handle it.
Yeah. Chutes and Ladders, my number five. Absolutely loved it. Played it so many times as a child.
Yeah, I can take it. Not my cup of tea, but To each their own.
I could tell. Okay, give me your four. Let's keep it moving.
Okay, number four. Okay, I kind of have two, but it's because it's like the kind of like the the kids, the PG version, and then like the adult, like the rated R version.
Are you about to say two names? Two, yes. Two lists?
Yes.
Okay.
Cards Against Humanity / Apples to Apples.
Okay. I thought for sure you were about to name something I have later, but okay, keep
no,
going.
No,
keep going.
Okay, yeah, Cards Against Humanity. That's the one I'll probably talk about the most because that's the one I've played more recently. It's the more adult-friendly version. You can get a little raunchy, a little controversial.
Way better cards.
Yeah, you can either get some laughs or like some gasp and horror, just depending on who you're playing with.
I was gonna say something that's fun to play with family, but can be awkward to play with family.
Yeah, I would say Apples to Apples. Probably the preferred one with family, It's the lack of like sex positions and stuff. But again, to each their own. I don't know your family,
man.
So.
I've played the other one with people before, where I play a card solely to hear them read it. Uh-huh. Like I could care less whether I win, but I want them to read that card.
Oh yeah. That's funny. The downside of playing this though is like even with Apples to Apples is playing with people that I guess don't have as much of a pop culture knowledge, perhaps.
I could see that.
Like, it could be a funny category, and I could include, like, an actor's name, but I could play with somebody, and they could read Tom Cruise and then read, okay, Tom Cruise, he was in Top Gun, he was in, and just read the movies and be like, okay, why is this funny that this adjective describes him? And it's like, no, you don't get it. I'm sorry. If Blair read this, he would know that Tom Cruise
That's what I was about to say. Like, when I think of this game, I think of specifically knowing your audience. And again, this goes
you
with one of my games
later. Audience.
But knowing the audience, absolute game changer for this. Because you're playing differently based on who you know is reading it.
Oh, yeah. It's an inside advantage for sure.
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah, now I see why you said you had two.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, they're so close. It's just, I mean, one you play with your friends and one you play with your family.
Yeah, I think that one was the 1.0 and the next one's the 2.0.
I would agree with that.
Cards Against Humanity, clearly the superior of the two games. I would never play Apples to Apples now, like after having played it. I'd say.
Yeah.
Unless they were kids. Yeah, kids.
I was going to say, it just kind of depends. So, yeah, that was my number four.
Okay.
That was my four.
Okay, my number four, man, just played it in the last 2 weeks, and it was as fun as when I played it when I was 7 or 8 years old. My number four game is Taboo.
Taboo.
Keeping on the card game theme. Taboo, the game where you're trying to describe something without using certain words. And, dude, I think the game is awesome. It is kind of low-key, way more strategic than most other card games, I guess.
Really?
Well, maybe I shouldn't say most other card games. Maybe I should say more than meets the eye.
Okay.
Because I think when you consider the game, you're like, oh, you're just trying to get somebody to say something.
Right.
But if you can use, you know, synonyms or you can utilize knowing the person and things you've done together, it becomes more fun.
That's what I was going to say is that you kind of alluded to it with mine, but like knowing the people that you're playing with.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you want to be partners with somebody who you've had lots of common experiences with or somebody who knows you well, because it gives you all this extra, pretty much added material that you otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, it's an inside advantage again, for sure.
I feel like we would crush it if we played.
I think we could.
You want to spout some off?
Yeah, give it to me.
Okay, Oakland.
Raiders.
Rock, paper.
Scissors.
What's cooler than being cool?
Ice cold.
We would crush it. Can confirm. Dude, it also gets you super worked up, though, when you say stuff like that and your opponent doesn't know it. You're like, what are you doing?
I know. You're like, dude, I can't say the exact word, but I'm trying my best.
This is the best way.
Figure it out.
The other good part of this game is the fact that one team gets the buzzer while the other person's trying to list up, you know? Because you can pretty much keep it right in their ear, just waiting to get him, man.
I got you. So you play Dirty Taboo.
Oh, yeah.
What
other way is there?
You take it to the streets. I got you.
Yeah, Dirty Taboo.
Dirty Taboo.
I go to that every Sunday
That's
morning,
That's almost
too.
Like an oxymoron, Dirty Taboo.
Is Taboo clean normally?
No, never.
It's an oxymoron.
I don't know.
Dirty Taboo.
Redundant, maybe?
Sounds like something somebody would go to on a Saturday morning in a steamy
Give me a dirty taboo. Yes, yes. See, but that could be anything.
You arrived to the sauna.
That could be anything, yes.
Yes, I'd like a dirty taboo and a martini.
Yeah, I was going to say a dirty taboo is what you ordered at the bar before, the night before, and it made you have to go to the spa.
You woke up the next morning and you were like, I shouldn't have had that last dirty taboo.
I know. Yeah, they actually sell hot dogs out the back, and one of the combo dogs is called a dirty taboo.
Okay, I won't be buying any of those. And I don't even want to know what the dirty taboo would have on it.
I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued now.
Coming to a food truck near you.
The dirty taboo.
There's one item on the menu.
Hey, that's all you need.
Okay, you ready to keep the list moving?
Okay.
My number four was taboo.
Yeah, your number four was the dirty taboo.
Yeah. There's only one.
Okay. All right, my number three. All right, I'm going to paint a picture for you. All right.
Close your eyes, listeners.
Yeah, theater of the mind. We are in a large, swanky, maybe a little older type mansion. We're at a nice little dinner party. I'm dressed in my nicest mustard colored suit.
Mustard dead giveaway. I see where this is going.
Blair is dressed in all green. We're enjoying a nice dinner party, it's six of us. Then all of a sudden, someone shows up dead. And we have to figure out who done it.
You were worried about was getting your mustard suit from the dry cleaners.
My number three is Clue.
Yeah. It's a good one, man.
It's so fun. It's super hard to get a full game going because you have to have six invested people.
I was about to say, if you don't have invested people playing this game, it totally ruins it.
Yeah, if you can have six invested people, I mean, I'm not saying you have to get full-on in character, cosplay, all of that good stuff, but I mean, if you're over there talking trash and if I'm hitting that, yo, I killed Blair like before this even started, it can get fun. It can get competitive. I enjoy it.
Man, I love Clue. I used to play all the time as a kid. It is also a very, very strategic game.
It really is. Because I guess it's kind of like the solving the mystery aspect of it as well. And you kind of have the freedom along the board to go in each room
but
and
this
kind
is
of figure
like,
it out.
This is important. This is the first combo board card game, right?
Yeah.
Because our topic here is board, card, and tabletop. But this is truly combo, pretty much.
Yeah, I would say so. It has the aspect of everything in it. Man, just like you said, tons of strategy. That seems to be kind of like a recurring theme, is strategy for both of us. I just love Clue. I want to play it soon.
One of the coolest parts about Clue, if you've ever played, you know I'm right about this, is that you spend however long it is figuring out, you know, your person, your weapon, your room, whatever.
Right.
But then at the end of the game, there is no better feeling than when you name all three and it's right in the envelope in the middle of the board. And
yes.
You're like, yo, I just figured out the mystery.
Exactly. Call me Sherlock.
Oh, yeah. No, good feeling. I love that game. It's on my honorable mention.
Yeah,
actually.
Oh, awesome.
I will tell you.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, number three, Clue.
It's a good one. Oh, I'm a little bummed I kept it off my list now. Talking about it makes me think, it's top five. Okay, my number three.
What?
You just talked about a complex game, super strategic.
Yeah.
Mine couldn't be more simplistic. My number three is Connect Four.
I love Connect Four.
Set it up on the tabletop, man. Just like Clue, mentioning the game makes me want to play it. But it's a tabletop classic.
Yes.
It'll never die. It's something you could play with your kids when they're old enough to drop the piece in the board, man.
Right. That's funny. This is what actually came to mind when we were talking about tabletop games.
You set it up. Yeah.
Because I was like, this is not a board game. It's not a card game.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a game that they would play. So that's what kind of added the extra tabletop aspect to this.
I totally agree. And this is also an example of a game that I have played in the last month or two. We played at the Tap Room
at
Red Oak. with Matt Johnny. Shout out Matt Johnny.
Shout out Matt Dale. Shouts Johnny.
That's right, friends of the pod. We played, and it was awesome there. Don't want to beat a dead horse on this also, but good for all ages, man. Yeah. That's an important characteristic of all these.
It's true. There is a little bit of strategy involved, but like you said, it's not enough to make a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, and I think the good for all ages piece, again, makes you more prone to play for longer, because if it's only good for kids or only good for adults, like, your time with it is obviously limited in whatever aspect.
Right.
Beating a dead horse, though, what a saying. Where do you think they came up with that?
I would say the Wild West.
I'm thinking of a farm owner walking around the corner like, "Trevor, why are you beating that horse?
It's dead.
It's been dead. You're beating a dead horse.
Quit beating that dead horse."
Yeah, so Connect Four. God, we need to get a set of board games right here to play right after the pod.
Game night. Seriously.
Two-person game night.
I'm into it.
Okay. Are you to your number two? You haven't done three yet, right?
No, yeah. Clue was my three. I'm on number two.
Okay. So keeping the tradition of screwing up the list.
The trend continues. We can't count down from
already to your two then. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So for my two, I kind of took advantage of the tabletop loophole.
What is this?
Because technically my game is played on a table. Pool. Billiards. What's wrong with pool?
It's fine. Just the table is slightly bigger than every other table needed for these other games.
Is pool or is pool not a tabletop game?
I would say, I guess I would sort it into the tabletop category.
It is played on a tabletop.
Okay. God. I feel like that opens up another brand new realm of possibilities, but that's fine. I like pool.
I live in my own world.
Okay.
I've also gone by the rules, though.
So you're a big pool guy.
I would say I used to be.
Better say yes. You're number two.
Yeah, this was kind of going along with the nostalgia theme. My grandparents had a pool table growing up. So me and my cousins, we would play all the time. We would play cutthroat, like a three-person game, sometimes with five people if we had a friend over.
Yeah.
We'd play teams, play again. Like that was like a huge source of entertainment for us. So, I mean, it had to be way up there. I mean, if I'm at a bar now, if it's not super crowded, that's the only downside is pool tables always get super crowded at bars. But, like, if it's empty and I'm at a bar, heck yeah, I'm down to drink a beer and play some pool.
Yeah, everybody wants to play pool. Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, even people that aren't good at pool are always like, yeah, I'll play pool.
Yeah.
I'll play. I'll hit the ball around.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's harder than you think it is.
Oh, I agree with that.
100%.
Are you one of the people who, like, goes to the ball you're going to hit before you hit it and, like, lines up the shot with the cue on
it? You're
framing your angle or whatever.
I was going to say, you're working the geography. You're figuring out the Pythagorean theorem.
People that like that, I always just look at. I'm like, does this really help you?
Yeah, or people that, like, bring their own pool stick to the bar.
Oh, God. Oh, this reminds me. Funny side story.
Strapped to their back like a bow staff with Donatello.
Just interwoven and whip it out and spin it together.
Yes.
Funny story. Total side story. This has nothing to do with... It does have to do with pool.
We were going on Ninja Turtles.
No names here. I could get on board with that too. A guy we went to high school with, for whatever reason, got super into pool his senior year. Uh-huh. No names.
Yeah.
And because he was so into pool, decided that he needed his own stick.
Okay.
And this story is about to take a wild turn, I'm telling you.
Okay.
He stole a pool stick from Walmart.
Okay.
And the way he stole it...
I was going to ask. I'm like, all right, this pool stick is feet long.
This is why it's so good. He unscrewed it in the middle, and he had on sweatpants, and he put one end of it down each leg of his sweatpants, man.
Oh, so he was walking like stiff-legged
just
all
like
the way
that,
out.
Dog. This was a real story. Yes, walking on stilts. Out the door.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and stole it. He had a pool table in his house.
Man, I wish that I knew a professional pool player so I could say young professional pool player, but I don't.
I only know one pro professional pool player.
That's one more than I know.
Black Widow. It's a female.
Black Widow. Shouts to Black Widow.
Shout outs to Black Widow, friend of the pod.
Yeah, so my number two is billiards, baby.
I was good to keep talking about billiards.
Oh, let's go. Bring it on.
Nah, I'm done with it now. You ended it. My number two?
One last thing about pool. the trick shot tournaments that are on ESPN at super random times, they're awesome.
Yeah. In between any major sports seasons, yeah. You'll see on there like billiards.
At like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh yeah. When everybody wants to tune in.
Yes, exactly.
Prime time.
Exactly.
Billiards players getting excited is pretty funny too, because it's, you know, pretty low key, quiet sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, you ready to move on?
Yeah.
Billiards are good too, man. Get outside the box. I like it. I like it. Okay. My number two, you started to take some thunder from earlier, but didn't quite.
Okay, good.
Apples to apples is the 1.0, right?
Okay.
Cards Against Humanity is the 2.0, right?
Uh-huh.
My number two is the 3.0. It's What Do You Meme?
What Do You Meme?
The game that is set up just like those. Man, countless times this game has had me just doubled over from laughter.
Right.
So it works the exact same way, except you're putting up the picture and you're putting in the responses.
Yeah, you're giving a caption to it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And there are so many cards that are completely inappropriate.
Definitely. Definitely.
And there are certain cards that... Man, I don't even have any in mind necessarily, but there are certain cards that I know if I see that card, like, that's going to win.
You're picking it.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's the same as the other games in that I'm playing stuff that I just want people to read most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Even,
yeah. I guess it's not really an issue with it. Because I'm not trying to shit on what you got to say, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But with that, don't you think that would be... Would you have to understand the memes?
Yep. No, I totally agree with
you. Yeah.
You're right, because...
right.
If you see a meme with, you know... Oh, gosh. There's so many good ones.
Yeah.
But one of my favorites in the game is the little girl who's like front right and everything behind her's on fire.
Yes.
And it's like the basically similar to that. This is fine.
Yeah,
like,
I'm cool
to watch this burn to the ground.
This is fine.
And I could see playing that with parents and them seeing it like, oh no, there's a fire.
I know, right? Like, oh gosh, save the girl.
Yeah. And in reality, you know, you want it to be a good sarcastic card for that one.
Right.
Something you truly couldn't give a shit about.
seriously.
So that's true. That's a drawback of it. But I had to put it in there because, like I said, I have laughed so hard playing it so many times. So it's got to be in my top five. And two's pretty high, man. I like the game.
Two is high. Yeah, that's up there.
If I'm playing with people I know, it's probably one of, if not the game of choice.
Yeah, I would say, again, it's all about the audience. But yeah, if you're playing that with several people that you know that, like, you kind of get the sense of humor, then, oh, man, yeah, it's great.
Nothing better. Are we ready? Are we to the ones?
Number one.
We are to the ones.
Are you ready? Number one. And pun not so much intended, but it's still number one. Uno.
Are you 90 years old? Uno is your greatest board card tabletop game of all time.
Yeah, I honestly...
You better give me a strong case.
Okay, because it has spanned since I can remember playing games. Since I was 5-6 years old, could grasp, like, how to play, maybe older than that. You probably got to be a little older than that to grasp Uno. 8, maybe?
Maybe. Anyway, I don't know. I don't remember.
Up until we played at Red Oak last weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, the rules are pretty much universal. Obviously, you have
The rules haven't changed in 4 decades.
Yes. Obviously, you have some people that have their own crazy rules and stuff. But, like, I'm trying to think of games, like, singular games that I've played more times than Uno. There's not one. Like, throughout elementary school, throughout middle school, even high school. I mean, shoot, we played some in college. We played last weekend.
Yeah.
It is number one. It's universal. All generations know how to play it. Man, like, it's competitive enough. You can get in fights over it. You can straight up burn people. Man, are you telling me you're down? You're down to your Uno, and it's me right before you, and I hit you with a draw four.
No, we're gonna fist fight.
Fists are coming out.
Okay, so for you, it's the fact that it stood the test of longevity.
The test of time is competitive every time. Like, I would say, Uno is a game that anytime like, if you play with three people, if you play with six people, like, everyone that's playing is out for blood.
No, that's true.
they are coming to win that game. Nothing and funnier, I am into that.
Nothing funnier than an Uno when you, I don't even, the person beside you maybe, like, maybe they hit a reverse and change it to you. And you
reverse,
think
you've reverse.
Got, like, yeah, reverse, reverse. You think you've got an alliance with them? Like, yep. You're like, oh, yo, reverse back.
I'll
I
reverse
got you,
back,
bro.
Reverse
like,
back.
Yeah, hit another card.
Draw two.
I was going to say, then they lay a draw two on you a minute later, and you're like, you can burn in hell.
Bridge burned immediately.
Oh, yeah.
We are no longer teammates.
Love to hatred.
Public
okay,
enemy
yeah.
number one.
No, that's very true. You... I want to come in with an honorable mention here because it deserves to be said. When you just said there is no game I have played more than Uno,
yeah,
I've got an honorable mention game.
Okay.
I have played more than Uno. Quick cut into
it. I was
going
to say, yeah, you're superseding your one. What
the
is
game
it?
War has to be the oldest game ever.
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
You're just flipping cards, man.
Yeah. I would say that's probably us, because you know that was like a drinking game way back in the day. Like,
oh God,
you think it was
that
the,
would
you
end
think,
your night early if you lost?
Question: do you think it was the game of war because it was invented by soldiers at war?
It's a great question.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
Okay, I'll continue to think about it. I'm not gonna give you an answer.
If only we had a producer to look this up right now. during
producer
during that silence, it could have been like, "No, David."
I was gonna say
that's not right.
Quick cut in. Turns out it was invented in 2010. No, yeah. Whatever. No, I've just played it a lot of times, I guess. And there's no other game after war. Yeah, Uno's up there for
God,
sure.
Yeah, I would say for me it's still Uno. Uno, one Uno ace. That's it.
Okay, I know how you feel about it moving forward, at least. You ready for my number one?
What's your number one?
It is very much more strategic and very much more tailored to a specific audience, but my favorite game of all time and my number one is the game Risk.
Risk!
The game of strategic conquest, global domination, dog! We're taking on every single country you're trying to actually conquer the world in game. Love it.
Risk is an honorable mention for me.
Okay, all right.
Risk is an honorable mention
for
me.
I'm cool with that. I used to, anytime I'm playing any board game back in the day, and I know we're about to get into honorable mentions, but I'll throw it out there. I have a take about this one also.
Okay.
But Monopoly, my cousins would always want to play Monopoly. Hold your thoughts.
Don't get me started.
I know. Hold your thoughts. But we'd be playing, and I'd always be thinking during any other board game, like, yeah, I wish I was playing Risk
right
now.
Playing Risk. Okay, all right. I will say the one downside to Risk is the game can last forever. For absolutely ever.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you. There are ways to definitely take over strongholds in Risk. Like, I have a very distinct strategy that even if we played Risk right now, as soon as the pod ended, I would use that strategy.
I have a distinct strategy as well, and I would be very curious if it was the same one.
What is it?
Start at Australia.
Okay, so you have only one outlet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I feel like I would run you into that corner and you would get taken over.
Well, there's going to be more people playing than just us.
I mean, not if we play right after this. It's just us here, David.
They don't need to know that.
So, my strategy and Risk, I would say, similar, but I start in South America.
Okay.
So, I can expand, like, whichever way I feel like is open.
Right.
And I'm trying to move that direction, but if you start in South America, pretty much everything you encounter only has one outlet from there. You know,
okay.
Right? Like, so South America, you got one outlet from Brazil to Africa, but then Africa, one outlet to like Europe or whatever. Maybe bottom corner of Asia.
Yeah, you can get to Asia.
Two. Okay, so then North America, Greenland is your only outlet to Europe, and then I guess Alaska takes you to North Korea, which
right.
Who doesn't want to take over North Korea, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I similar strategy, but dude, I used to play Risk with my cousin Kelder. Shout out Kelder.
Shouts to Kelder.
We used to play that all the time.
Well, I'm also going to give some shout outs. Shouts to Matt Dale again. Shouts to Tyler. Shouts to Ryan, where we had a three day Risk game going.
Y'all just left it set up.
Yeah, we left it set up on the kitchen table.
That's intense.
And during college, we would all go to class. We would come home, play for a couple hours, Somebody would get mad. We'd call it a night. We would go to class the next day. We would come back. We would play again. It lasted 3 days.
Who won?
I think Matt Dale won.
There's no way.
Matt Dale, sneaky good at Risk.
Okay. Shout out to Matt Dale again. Friend of the pod. I'm impressed.
Yes.
Matt Dale's listening to this. He's like, I did win that game.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, that's right, David. You did not win that game. You will not say you won that game.
Okay. Man, absolutely loved Risk.
That's awesome.
Ultimate strategic game for me. That's why.
That's a really good number one. I can dig that. Can dig that.
You want to do the top five recap here?
Yeah. We'll give a recap, and then let's knock out some honorable mentions. Okay,
I've got a good list of them.
Okay, all right. I'll go first. So my top five board games, card games, tabletop games go as following. Number five, chess. Number four, Cards Against Humanity. Number three, Clue. Number two, Pool. Number one, Uno.
Pool, man.
Billiards.
Out of left field.
Hey!
Okay, my top five of board, card, tabletop games is number five, Chutes and Ladders. That's Chutes, C-H-U-T-E-S, and Ladders.
Shooting Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders. Number four, The Dirty Taboo.
Dirty Taboo.
Number three, Connect Four. Number two, What Do You Mean? Number one, Risk. Got to be number one for me. That's my top five.
Yeah, so let's give some honorable mentions.
Okay, before we do honorable mentions, a take I have on a game that wasn't in here, mentioned it earlier.
Uh-huh.
Monopoly.
Yep.
The most trash game Garbage. Of all time, dude.
Garbage.
Total trash board game. I don't even know where to start with things that are wrong with it.
Can I start?
Yeah, you can start.
Most overrated game. Absolutely horrible. Takes minimum 3 hours to play.
I totally agree. Is winning worth 6 hours of your life? That's what you have to ask
yourself. Yeah, is it worth losing 6 hours and your closest relationships with all of your friends and family? I don't want to play games where I also have to be an accountant. I don't want to have to worry about real estate outside of the apartment that I currently live in.
Right. Am I being paid time and a half for the accounting work I'm doing right now?
I don't want to risk going to jail ever.
No, so, never. It's not even worth joking about.
Yeah.
Terrible game.
Not into it.
No. I frankly never want to play it again.
Yeah, Monopoly, enemy of the podcast.
Enemy of the pod. You ready for the honorable mention now that they know how we feel about it?
Whew, I am so glad to get that off my chest.
Good Lord, I'm finally going to sleep a full 8 hours tonight.
I'm so glad to get that off my chest.
What you got on the honorable mention?
Okay,
man?
Honorable mention in the same vein as pool and billiards.
Stop!
Ping pong, baby!
Okay.
Yes, ping pong. Love it. Super fun. Actually played it earlier today. Shouts to Will. Super fun.
Okay.
God, Will. Also, adult version, beer pong. Love that as well. Another tabletop game.
I feel like we need to remake our list with your tabletops intro. I agree with you. They are technically tabletop.
They are tabletop games.
Okay, I got an honorable mention for you. Operation.
Okay.
You ever play that?
Oh, of course.
The fine muscle movement, man.
That's a game that I absolutely hated as a kid, but liked it a lot more. Like, I guess once I got better fine motor skills, because like when I was a kid, I was horrible at it. Constantly, all the time.
No worse feeling. When I was a kid, I would always think I was super slick and take the tweezers from my mom's bathroom drawer and play the game with them because they didn't buzz. But nobody else ever fell for it because, you know, they weren't attached to the game board.
Right. You were acting like Dr. Death up in there.
Oh, yeah. And funny you say that because thinking back, you wonder, like, was it creepy or was it good and encouraging to have kids removing body parts, like, from a full cadaver, basically?
Okay, so basically, how many doctors were made by playing Operation and how many serial killers were made by playing Operation?
Right, got to be close to 50-50, I would imagine.
I think it's a wash.
Yeah. Cool story I have kind of that makes me think about Operation is that one time saw John Brinkus, sports science.
Yeah, right? Shouts to John Brinkus.
Shout outs, friend of the pod. Saw him live, and one of the demonstrations he did was about how when pressure's on you, your larger muscle groups work
better. So
right.
Like if people are cheering for you, you know, you could jump higher maybe.
Yeah.
But your fine muscle groups work way worse. They're terrible basically.
Yeah.
So imagine just screaming and yelling at somebody playing Operation.
Dude.
Like, they're buzzing, no doubt.
Yeah, I was about to say, imagine high pressure Operation. I guess like surgery.
Yeah, real life.
Yeah.
People do that. Isn't that terrifying?
Actual Operation.
Let's move on. I'm not feeling so well suddenly. What else you got?
Okay, what else I have for honorable mentions? Spoons.
Oh, I love spoons! Play it every year!
Okay, this is kind of the same as Uno, in which it brings out the absolute animal in people.
Yes.
I have seen people wrestle to the floor for spoons.
Knocked across the room.
I have played with plastic spoons and had them snapped, and the people argue because they each have a half of the spoon they're still in.
What do you do in that instance?
You're both out.
I feel like you should measure the halves.
Fight to the death.
Okay, fist fight.
Yes.
Paper, rock, scissors.
You have to use your end of the spoon as your weapon.
Jesus Christ.
In the Colosseum.
Whoever got the sharpest side is huge advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love spoons. We play it every year at Thanksgiving. Try playing with forks or knives.
There's a reason they call it spoons and not knives.
No, you're right. Spoons, good game.
Knives would have a very short lifespan. The game of knives would only last like 1 minute.
Yeah, the loser's in for it. We got so many honorable mentions. We're doing them the same speed as the top five.
Nah, we're going a little faster.
Okay, all right. Keep moving. My next one is Guess Who.
Okay, that's a classic.
Childhood favorite. I honestly just love the sound of clicking the faces down.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And the way
does your person have glasses?
Exactly. I'll say, but you could play it now and make it funnier and be like, does this person look like they graduated from night school with a degree in lizard veterinary?
Yeah, there's some interesting characters. I used to love to get wild, and there would be five or six characters left on the board, and I'd be like, is your person Carl? Just like, think I was going right for the jugular.
Yeah,
I want the guess.
No.
More times than not, the person's like, no, there's a ton of other people left.
It is not cool. I've only put down one.
I was going to say.
All right.
Then on my side, I'm like, okay.
Rhonda.
not Carl. Guess Who, great game, man.
Guess Who is a great game. God, I haven't played that in so long.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about this little foreshadowing at the beginning of the pod with the spinner talk. The game of life.
Oh, not where I thought you were going.
Game of life. Basically, if you like Monopoly but you don't want to play for 6 hours, play the game of life. It's over. It has an end. It's perfectly fine.
That's a game that all of my friends had as a kid, but I didn't have.
Yeah.
So
I'm not
as into it as other people.
It's okay. The reason it's honorable mention and not top five, I played it a lot when I was a kid, so it's got the nostalgia factor.
So it ruined it for you.
Me and my cousins played it a lot. It was so funny. We would play, and I would routinely be like the one that didn't go to college. I would be the one that went straight to work.
Your mom walked through and was like, David, pull it together.
She'd be like, no, go back. You're redoing this. You're going to college, young man.
Shout out to Barbara, friend of the pod.
Yes, something like that.
Okay, you saying spinner makes me think of this game that I thought you were going to say. It's not on my list. It needs to be acknowledged. I thought you were about to say Twister.
Oh, Twister. No, yeah. That didn't even make the list.
Me neither. I used to play Twister innocently at after school. And I say innocently because if you played it as an adult, like it'd be so weird, right?
Well, it depends if you're playing with other adults or not.
Well, if you're playing with like random kids, it's obviously weird.
Super weird. I mean, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But I still feel like playing with adults is kind of strange, don't you think? Like,
yeah, I feel like it gets.
Can you imagine us like, yeah, what are you doing Friday? You want to come over for a quick game of Twister?
Yeah, we're about to play Twister. I pushed my couch out of the way, and we can play Twister
in
the living room.
We're getting weird in the living room tonight. We're playing Twister.
Yeah, I feel like Twister with an Okay, I feel like an all-adult Twister is a very quick segue to a dirty taboo. That's all I'm saying.
Need a little foreplay to your dirty taboo? Try out Twister.
Yeah. Twister is the gateway to dirty taboo.
Okay, the gateway game. Gateway drug. I think we're ready to move on. Last game I have on the list that hasn't been mentioned because I do have Clue. I do have, we didn't talk about Checkers. It's on there. We need to talk about Checkers.
What is there to talk about Checkers?
I was just going to shout out Cracker Barrel, basically. Okay. Because that's where I got the Checkers.
That's worthy. Shouts to Cracker Barrel.
I was also going to say about Checkers, name a better feeling than when you're playing Checkers with somebody. Finally get a piece to the end of the board. Look them dead in the eyes. Flip your piece over and say,
King me,
bitch. Yeah, no better feeling. Checkers, just a classic. Okay, but other game I was going to mention, Candyland.
Oh, man.
You don't like Candyland?
It's okay.
It's kind of like Chutes and Ladders. Yeah, that's why I left it down here.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is it's a sugary version of Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice upgrade. Right. Sugar action.
It's got kids written all over it.
Yeah.
Candy, easy game. Just figure it out, like, in 5 minutes, and you can just start playing.
Right. I used to assign kids as a project.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, used to teach middle school. Used to teach the youth of America, as terrifying as that may be, as you listen to us.
Yeah, he wasn't just finding kids and just being...
What? Nobody thought that until you said it.
Well, you clarified before I could put that comment in there.
So. Okay, well, now everybody knows. Anyways, I was a legal teacher. Anyways, I would always, one of the assignments I'd give at the end of the year would be like, make a game to teach this whatever topic of the curriculum, just for fun.
Right.
And every single year, a group would create basically Candyland, where all the spaces were a different color, and they'd be like, listen to this, we've got this creative idea, you draw the color and it tells you where to move. And every time I'd create, I'd be like, Candyland knockout, like, what a bum. Like, well, minus five.
Okay, well, serious question. Do you think the youth of the nation and the world are playing like Candyland and stuff now? Like, I imagine middle schooler now does not know what Candyland is.
No, well, I'd say no. They've got Snapchats to keep up with and stuff like that.
Fortnite, baby.
Yeah, Fortnite. They have to snap each other 6,000 consecutive days and get a streak. Yeah. That's a huge thing for kids. But no, I would say probably not. I would say the age cutoff would be today's 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds.
That, like, actually played Candyland as a kid.
And they would be the end of it. Right. But a lot of board games these days have been remade with, you know, more cartoon, modern characters. They still exist, right, but I don't think they're as popular.
Yeah. I was just kind of wondering because, like you said, they thought they had the creative idea. They were oh my gosh, like, you draw the colors, that's the square that you move to next. And it's like, nah, dog.
No. And in reality, you're right. Since they haven't had exposure to Candyland, like, props to them. They probably thought of that, thought it was really cool. Yeah, so I take back my minus five comment. I can't take back the grade, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the book.
I mean, they got minus five then. If it was now, they wouldn't get minus five.
Right, yeah. 2016 was a different year. Yeah. Different time.
Yep.
You got anything else?
No, I'm good. I have a couple more, but we've talked about honorable mentions for a long time.
Yeah, the same amount of time we talked about the top five.
We're getting there. That's the thing. We're getting close.
Okay, so that's the best we got for you. Those are the games to rule all games, man. Do you want to tell them about a new segment?
Yeah. So we're thinking about trying to work in a new segment to future episodes at the end of every episode. We're going to still do our main topic every time, but we want more fan interaction, more listener recommendations, especially like with certain lists, because everything can be ranked. Everything you can give a top five to, but some things we can't necessarily talk about for an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We want lists that we can rattle off kind of hot take style. Just surface level, get into quick five lists that maybe we wouldn't spend an hour on. Maybe we'll call it quick five.
Yeah, or like the fast five or something like that.
Fire five.
Yeah, or the Final Five.
Final Five. Maybe we'll take listener recommendations for that too.
Honestly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listeners, give us some recommendations for that as well. We want it to be just super quick at the end. I mean, me and Blair both want to go and give our lists in like under 10 minutes, just like kind of like some hot takes, just to mix it up, have a little different flavor than what we were going with the whole episode.
Way quicker than we did the honorable mentions.
Yes, the fast five will be faster than the rest of it.
Easy topics, bring them to us. We'll spit them out, things you're wondering about. The best way to get those to us has got to be on Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's got to be at Twitter, so hit us up at @arriveat5.
That's @5.
Arrive, A-T, the number 5.
Don't use that symbol. We've been over this.
You can't put it in the handle.
You ready to do the shout-outs?
Let's end the show with some shout-outs.
Let's get it.
All right.
Start us off?
Shouts to Uncle Blazer.
Shout-outs to Ricky Williams.
Shouts Burt Reynolds.
Shout-outs Julie Chin.
Shout-out to Vanna White.
Shout-out to Adam Sandler.
Shouts to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Shout-out to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She dips beneath the lasers.
Whoa. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Adios.